Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The book, Poppy, My Story with David Ortiz, with Michael Holley, Harcourt Mifflin, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. So a big publisher, big book. It's just out. David Ortiz joins us now. Big Poppy, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me.
Nice to talk to you. And you did a great job at that Connecticut Sports Foundation dinner that I hosted that night. You did a really good job. You did a great job with the audience that night. You really did. You had them eating out of your hand. You did a great job.
Hey, thank you very much. It was an honor being there with you.
All right. Now, listen, Big Poppy will be at Barnes & Noble Tribeca on 97 Warren Street. That is tomorrow night, May 16th at 5 to 7 o'clock, signing books. So, Barnes & Noble, Tribeca, 97 Warren Street, here in the city. I highly recommend a book if you like this era of baseball. There's a lot here. Big Poppy, you know what you did, which is really good? You answered a lot of questions about your career that people have always wondered about. Like in Minnesota, why you weren't successful there, a lot of it, you can tell the folks, really revolved about how Tom Kelly felt about you.
Well, you know, it's like I always tell the younger player when they are coming up, you know, all you can do, all you can control is work hard and try to every day get better and do something that makes a difference than the day before. And basically that's all you can control. Other than that, it's like a poker hand that you play. You don't even know how things gonna end up, how things gonna be. You know, I came up in a ball club that basically was a losing ball club. I have a manager that he was used to veteran players. We have like 14 rookies at the time. You know, it seems like he was having a hard time. Even we guy was still trying to learn how to play the game. But I tell you what, not everything was negative that I learned from him. You know, basically, he pushed me to work harder, to try to get better every day and take my career to another.
But you never really got, even with Gardenhier, you know, they tried to change how you wanted to hit a little bit, right? And you really never felt you got a real shot there, right?
Definitely. I came out through the minor league as a power hitter, as what I ended up doing in my career. But the way, you know, they want me to hit, the way they want me to have my approach, it was a little different than what I thought it was.
We were talking about the Twins, but let's get through that, Big Poppy. You released by the Twins. Two guys played a big role with you, Pedro Martinez, Manny Ramirez. Tell people about the role, which I never realized till I read the book, how big a role Pedro played with you going to the Red Sox.
Well, Pedro was the guy who made the phone call to the Red Sox to hire me, to have me in the organization. Pedro was a big mentor to me. I always idolize Pedro because Pedro worked at it. It was unbelievable. He was the one guy that he was extremely smart. He encouraged me to do things differently, approach the game differently, because Pedro always told me, hey, look, you have the ability to hit. And all you got to do is just look around you, start picking things up, look at the good hitters that we had, Nomar, Manny, Verita. We had a really good group of guys who were capable of doing some damage. And I was like, all right, let me just start working and seeing what those guys normally do. And one of the guys that caught my attention at the most was Manny, because Manny had this beautiful mechanic as a hitter. And I start chasing those things. It helped me out to slow down the game, you know. It helped me out to start focusing on things differently, and that was my career turned out to be.
Now, you mentioned in the book, which is a great point, Manny likes everybody to think that he's this clown who doesn't work hard, when you say Manny works unbelievably hard in private.
That was one of the things that I loved the most about Manny. I mean, Manny, he was the guy that his mind was all over the place. But when it comes down to baseball, to hitting, you can ask the guy that have played with him. They can tell you Manny was a machine.
Yeah, and great, and you learned a lot from Manny. And Pedro used to call a lot of pitch, tell you to go up and look for a certain pitch, and he'd be right a lot, right?
Definitely. That's how smart Pedro always has been about baseball. Pedro can see things happening before they happen. And I can tell you the numbers of time that Pedro would be like, going looking for this breaking ball, going sit on this change, yeah, going sit on this fastball away, fastball. Like, that was Pedro. I mean, you see the days that Pedro wasn't pitching, he was there in the dugout just watching things. And I can tell you, I wasn't the only player that he come out with that kind of ideas.
All right, this was painful. 2003, you have your first big year there, and the Yankees beat you. 2004, you're talking to a New York audience. You know how painful that is for us, especially what you start doing in Game 4. After the 19-8 game Saturday night, what's your team thinking as you get ready and you're playing Game 4, thinking the Yankees are going to sweep you?
Well, I can tell you straight up, my mindset was like, wow, because it was like firework that the last game we played, the Yankees scored like 18 runs.
Yeah, 19-8, like, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, me personally, I thought we got no chance after that game. But I learned during that period of those games, I learned that the game is not over until it's over. You know what I'm saying? And we kind of like bounced back. We won the first game. And then I think the delay that we have, the rain delay, kind of like give us a little bit of a catching up. And then we came and won the second game. And now we have momentum going on, you know. But I tell you what, man, that team that we faced that year, it was one of the best teams that I ever faced that the Yankees had.
And then your big hits late, which started this career, you being great in the postseason and beating the Yankees. When you were with the Twins, were you ever aware how much George Steinbrenner wanted you? That we always heard how he had this fixation for you, and he used to tell Cashman to try and get you. You mentioned in the book that Felipe Lou wanted you. Were you ever aware that the Yankees and Steinbrenner were after you?
I heard about it after I was here for a bit that the boss, man, he wanted me to be part of the Yankee organization, you know.
Like, he did.
Like I always say, I always have mad respect for the Yankees and all their fans. I you know, competing against the Yankee was something that I can say was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it was like being part of this one rivalry that it was like legit. It was something that it was an honor for me to be part of it. The competition. I'm a guy that I love competition, and he always pull out the best out of me.
You know, you're very honest in the book. You mentioned after all the good years how hurt you were when Francona pitch hit for you in that April night in Toronto when you were already in the box. Talk about that. That meant that really was the start of a rough time with you and Francona, right?
Well, I was hurting badly, because baseball is like that. Baseball is a game that you have a lot of ups and downs. And as a player, you will believe that your manager, your coaches would stick with you in the bad time, hoping that at some point you go back to normal, you know what I'm saying? And it seems like everything was just going south that year. And this situation happened where I get pinched once. I'm in the box, you know, something that I had to have a lot of determination at the time. And because any bad move, any mistake that you make going through it, it could have cost you your career. So it was something that kind of put me in the spot, but I handled it very well. And I was able to bounce back and have a good season that year.
The book is Poppy, My Story, David Ortiz with Michael Holley, Outland Mifflin Harcourt. Pedro, you are not very kind to Bobby Valentine in this book. He was only there a short time. You were pretty hard on him in the book. Tell the people, David, about what went on with Bobby Valentine.
Well, reality is that I'm a very honest person. You know, I was the face of the organization at the time, and I showed Bobby that I was the guy that it doesn't matter what happened, I have his back. You know, and seeing the way things turned out to be, and not only that, he come on national television and say that I quit on the team. That was something that really, really, really hurt me, because everybody around the organization know that I wasn't the controversial guy that won Bobby to get fired or anything. The team, let me tell you something. I remember we were flying out of Detroit on April. I think it was like April 23rd. And we are on the airplane on the way back to Boston after the day game. And I had this revolutionary player coming from the back of the airplane. I see, like, in the middle of the airplane, the coaches sit in the front, and they came to me and told me, this guy needs to get fired before we land. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. We got to start playing better. You need to start pitching better. Like, I start calling guys out just because of the situation that we were in. And let me tell you, if I tell the guys, yes, you need to get fired, it was going to be a different story. You know what I'm saying? But that ain't me. I believe in Bobby. I believe on the good things that he had done during his managing career. I believe that we were going to be able to bounce back and have a better season. But then he come out saying on national television that I quit. That kind of like, I was like, it's enough. You know, this is not supposed to happen, because I never did. I'm not a quitter. I'm a guy that I give everything I have. During my career, you saw it. I got a lot of respect from everybody because of it, because I showed what you see is what you're going to get. And it seems like he never appreciated that.
So you thought, he said on TV that he thought you quit on him.
Yep, national television. I was watching. I was impressed. I was like, whoa.
And that season, that was the year you played 90 games. You played well, but you got hurt. I remember you pulled a muscle. Was it a hamstring? What was it? What happened?
Yeah,
when
I almost tore my Achilles.
Right. I remember you got hurt running to second base. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I almost tore my Achilles. We have a meeting, doctors, GM, him, everybody in the doctor were like, this guy can play. He tried to play. He might have a career ending because of his injury, you know. And it was bad, man. And it was something that I never forget about.
Did you think Bobby was just in the wrong place? Or did you think, I mean, what was your thoughts about him after your experience with him?
I think situation could have been handled better. He probably was at the wrong place at the wrong time because of what happened the year before with the chicken and beer thing, and they probably gave him the wrong memo. You know, you're dealing with grown men, and it seems like basically they told him, hey, go and babysit this guy, tell him what to do, you know, and everything just take the wrong turn, you know, and you saw how the season was. It was terrible. So the following year, you saw what happened. We ended up winning the worst series, but it was that, you know, the confidence start building up. You know, we start getting familiar with things. Guys start handling business more confidence, and things was different.
All right, there's two things, and you touch it on the book. You're going to be a guy who's got Hall of Fame credentials. You have 541 homers. The numbers in the World Series are off the charts. You're one of the great clutch hitters of all time. Even though you're a DH, you're a Hall of Famer. I think you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. But
thank you very much.
But there's the issue of steroids, and it came up during the testing. It came up at Yankee Stadium. You write a chapter about it here. On the air right now, did you ever do steroids?
Never. That wasn't my my purpose. You know, I was a guy that I worked extremely hard to get better. I even got caught during the steroid era. You know, I got released by the Twins, and my best number all came out during the drug testing. So that tells you how much my career was all about. So I keep on saying to people that I got more drug testing than anybody ever has in baseball, and I never saw one. So
But the rumors are, and I can't attest to this. Now, you held a press conference about it, that you tested positive on that survey test they gave that year that was anonymous, that you were one of the guys along that A-Rod 2, that you tested positive. Why would you have tested positive then if you were clean?
Nobody ever. It was just a rumor on the street. Nobody ever came to me and told me, this is what you test positive for. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they did to A-Rod. It wasn't like they did to the guy that really tests positive for anything. Here, you test positive for this. David Ortiz drug test, the one that they came out with was like something up in the air. You know what I'm saying? So, and you saw what the commissioner say. This was inconclusive. So, I mean, it was their word against mine, basically. And like I say, man, you know, like...
Have you ever... Now, here's the other reason, Pedro. David, I want to get to this. Because it deals with Manny. Everyone felt that if Manny tested positive, you were Manny. Manny was your idol, that you did whatever Manny did. You trained the same way. So they felt if he did, you did. Talk about that, too. Because two things came up. That testing on that year when the anonymous testing. And then the idea that if Manny did, you were probably doing the same things Manny did.
Well, Manny's last name is Ramirez. My one is Ortiz. So if Manny go out there and kill somebody, should I be guilty?
No. That's why I want to ask you the question. So you're saying right now you never took steroids of any kind?
Never.
Anything that was even suspect, supplements or anything like that could be questionable or nothing even questionable?
Well, I use supplements just like every other athlete.
Okay.
I never went out there and buy steroids. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, in your mind, you never cheated?
Never.
Okay. Because you know that's going to come up when it comes to the Hall of Fame, because they're going to bring up that whole year with the testing, and they're going to bring up all this stuff. So, you're going to have to address this if you want to get into the Hall of Fame, because every guy has had to. So, you're saying right now, and you brought it up in the book, you talked about what Boston said about you, what the media said about you, because it became pretty much, you know, a lot of fans here think you did. A lot of fans in Boston think you did. So, you're saying you didn't.
That's something that I can control, you know. What I can control is what I was able to do on the field. You know, being a Hall of Fame one day, it'll be an honor for me, my family, and all my fans. You know what I'm saying? But that's something that I can really control. I can vote for myself. So I did what I was supposed to do. And honestly, I tell you, I never used steroids. I got released in the steroid era. I got my best number during the drug testing, so that's all I can tell you.
Why did you retire off such a great year? I mean, I know you wanted to retire, but you had such
I'm old.
You had such a great. You had an overwhelming year: 38 homers, 127 RBIs, 315 batting average. Who retires with those kind of numbers?
Well, if you give me a new pair of feet, I will continue play.
I mean, you had a great year last year.
I did, yeah, I did. But you know, I was playing through a lot of pain, and you know, it was something that I was dealing with for the past 4 years. So I wish I could continue playing, but it was unbelievable.
You know, people thought you were done in 2009, 2010. They were saying you were washed up. I remember you came to Yankee Stadium one time. They weren't even playing you every day anymore. What happened in those years, and how did you come back from it? Was it injuries? What was going on then?
Well, in 2009, I have an injury, 2008, the year before, and it was a bad injury. I hurt a ligament in my left hand, and that caused me coming back with a bad mechanic. My mechanic was, it was bad because I was looping. I don't know if you understand what that means.
Right, I understand. You were uppercutting everything.
Exactly, so... but it was a habit that I created because of the injury that I have. I wasn't using my top hand because I injured my top hand the year before. But I figured it out. You know, I figured it out. I started, you know, doing drills and stuff like that. So I started using my top hand, and that was when I started hitting the ball.
What's your favorite Yankee Stadium moment? You have one? I mean, you killed the Yankees. What's your favorite moment?
Oh, I have a lot of good moments over there.
A lot of good moments.
What can I tell you, man? I really enjoy playing at Yankee Stadium. You know, I love hitting at Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium seems like it's in a stadium built for left-handed hitters. And that's why you see always the Yankees trying to chase a good power left-handed hitter to play for them, because it is a very good stadium for left-hander. Like that short porch right field is something that a left-handed hitter definitely enjoys, especially with power. And I was always looking forward to a hit over there. I think the one game seven that we won in New York in 2004, that was one of my really good moments, because we basically play against the best ball club. And I'm not saying that the other one that we played wasn't good, but playing against the Yankees and beating the Yankees that year was something that I thought it was unbelievable.
Big Poppy, what are you proudest of for this career? I mean, what's when you look back now on this career, as you start to look back on it, what are you proudest of?
I would say the relationship that I built up with around the league, with players and everybody, people that I took my time to let them know, you know, the importance of the game, how when you take your time, especially as a veteran player, to, you know, do what is best for the game with the younger player, with the new generation coming up. I think that's something that I never forget about. And it's something that the player respect, the player appreciate, and they carry that with them into the last day they play.
You're a legendary figure in Boston. Could you have ever imagined getting cut by the Twins and having the career you had in Boston?
Well, the one thing that I can tell you that I never stopped working. You know, I work extremely hard into the last day I play. So I would you always dream about being a good player, having a good career, and you start adding things, and all of a sudden you turn down to have the career that I end up having. You probably don't dream about having a career like that, but because the way you work, the way you handle the business, the way you handle yourself on and off the field, sometimes you expect something like that.
The book, Poppy, My Story, David Ortiz with Michael Holly. He will be at the Barnes & Noble Tribeca tomorrow night, 97 Warren Street, 5 to 7 p.m. Appreciate a couple of minutes. I know you have to go. Thanks very much. It's a very good book. You did a good job. It's interesting. And good luck with the book, and enjoy your trip to New York.
Hey, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. David Ortiz, there you go. Hey, he's got a whole chapter in the book about this. He says he won't even admit that he flunked that test. There's no, obviously, proof that he flunked that test, because baseball will not say that he flunked that test. He says it doesn't prove anything, that there were false positives on that test, that not everybody in, he goes into a whole chapter of it, says that not everybody on that test. I mean, he made statements that, you know, he never tested positive any other time. There were false positives on that list. There were also on that list, not everybody was a steroid abuser, according to him. I don't know what's true and what's not true, because we've never had any discussions with anybody about that list, because they won't have discussions about it. And he is adamant in the book, and you just heard him say adamant there, that he never tested for steroids. He never did in a test any other place. So that's basically, you can draw your own conclusions. That's basically, you know, the Boston media attacked him then and then backed off later. That's all true. We all know what everyone has thought up here. There you should go. He addressed it. He talked about it in the book. Now, it's interesting in the book. He was hard on Tom Kelly early for trying to turn him into a guy who wanted to go to the opposite field. Gartenhire wasn't in love with him. They released him, which is amazing when you think about it. Doesn't mention the Yankees in the book. It mentions Felipe Lou trying to trade for him. The year with Valentine, he's very hard on Valentine, and the Red Sox were very hard on Valentine. Maybe we'll have Bobby on to discuss it. I don't know if Bobby wants to dredge up that terrible year he had there, which was just a nightmare. They traded the players without even telling Bobby. But you just heard Big Poppy there. And then he had a great relationship with Francona until Francona sent Lowell up to pinch hit for him when he was in the box in April in Toronto in 2010, and he never forgave him for it. So he mentions that. And then obviously all his wonderful moments, which we lived through. You know, when you look at it, you don't realize until you look at the numbers how staggering this guy. This guy had 541 home runs. He had more home runs than Mickey Mantle. I mean, his numbers are staggering. They really are. I mean, when you go through them, guy had 54 home runs. Guy, last year, guy retires off 48 doubles, 38 homers, 127 RBIs, and hit 315 and retires. Who retires off a year like that? But said he couldn't play anymore. So, I mean, but the book, my story. Interesting. I tell you, he's pretty honest in the book. Now, you believe him, don't believe him. All I can do is ask him the questions. That's all I can do. David Ortiz with Michael Holly, back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.